I am so excited to bring you a guest episode today with someone who's going to add so much value to your life. The Joyful Flamingo is bringing you a certified parent coach today to the pod, and I couldn't be more thrilled for this collaboration. If you're looking for camaraderie in parenting and tangible tips on how to actually step into the best parent you can be, today is for you. There is so much goodness coming at you. It's insane. So keep on listening. Well, hey there, friend, and welcome to the Joyful Flamingo podcast. I'm your host, Emily Schreiber, and I am obsessed with empowering women to tune into themselves, to zoom in on their own well-being, so in turn, they can lead their most vibrant, aligned, and joyful lives. I want to create a tsunami of self-discovered, self-loved, and self-understood women to show up in this world unapologetically and joyfully, and to pass the torch on for generations to come. If any of that feels aligned with your vibe, stick around. I'm so glad you're here. Now, let's go find our joy. Hey, 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 Joyful Flamingo flock. Welcome back to another episode of the pod. And I wanted to start out with a review from one of you lovelies. Henry Fox says, loving this podcast for women in all walks of life. So many people have been asking me, what are you going to do when you retire? Now I have my answer. I'm choosing to pale for a while. I loved this one so much. I have been so humbled by the diversity of women listening to this podcast and enjoying this podcast. And I love this idea from Henry Fox about choosing to pale for a while. Choosing to go into the trenches of relearning who you are in a new phase and maybe getting a bit blurry on who you've been for the past little while. Thank you, Henry Fox, for sharing. I'm so grateful for you. And a reminder to everybody else, keep sharing what you love about this podcast, both on your socials, but also through rating and reviewing the show. I sound like a broken record, but I'm gonna say it on every episode. If you can take the time to rate and review the podcast, specifically on Apple Podcasts, it does us such good because it allows us to impact more women, which is our mission here, to impact women. So let's get to it today. I am just so tickled pink this morning to introduce you all to our guest. I met this woman just a few months ago, actually, and was immediately drawn to her energy. She spoke on stage and I remember sitting in the audience being like, whoa, this person's got something really cool that I want to connect with. And I just knew that she was meant to be part of our flock. And so we're really excited to have her on the pod today to share with us. I have the privilege of introducing you to Jake Lyski-Willis. Jake is a certified parent coach and founder of the Mostly Peaceful Parent. I love that name. We're going to get to it in a second too. And also Motherhood Manifestation Mentor. She's the co-author of the Amazon number one best-selling book called Woven. And she's led a really colorful life with a super diverse career spanning 30 years in the music and entertainment industry, which includes, listen to this, earning a Juno Award and multiple CCMAs. So we just have a famous person in our midst today, guys. And beyond her professional achievements, Jake's adventures include a 3.5-year fertility journey, which we're going to dive into as well. And that led her to explore manifestation and the power of the subconscious mind and all of the techniques that come along with that. Jake realized her dream of giving birth for the first time at the age of 51. And then motivated by this commitment to intentional living, she became a certified parent coach through the Jai Institute for Parenting. She's passionate about empowering parents to cultivate relief, connection, and cooperation with their children, which we all need more of in our life, and fostering emotionally intelligent and self-aware individuals for meaningful relationships. Jake lives in Atlanta, Georgia, with her husband, Chris, and her daughter, Avalon. We're so happy to have you here today. Welcome, welcome.
Oh, thank you so much. I'm thrilled.
We met at a women's leadership retreat. And I have to say, like when you spoke to the group, I just found you super real. And I love that about speakers when they're just, they're non-scripted. They're speaking from their heart. They're raw. I mean, maybe you were scripted, but I then if you were, I couldn't tell. And just really authentic and also really funny. So for me, humor is something that touches me deep in my soul. And so I think that was one of the reasons why I felt super connected to you too. And so I think this conversation is going to be fire today. And I'm really excited to jump into the tools and the techniques that you have for us as parents that you've mastered. But where I'd really love to start is just how you became a parent, how you became a mom, because I think that that journey and that story is super powerful and really an incredible story. So if you could start there, that would be wonderful.
Well, it is a bit of a miracle. One of the people in the music industry, when we were looking for record deals, said, "We can't put money into you because your kind gets pregnant." And we were so, it was just like, really? This is what's going on? But our manager kind of played jokingly, and said, "Hey, look, you guys don't need to worry about having babies. Sarah from the Bible was 88. So he's like, you guys got lots of time." It wasn't quite as funny when we started getting closer to the ages of wanting to have a child. Now, for me, I never imagined I wouldn't be a parent, but it was not a priority. I was not like my girlfriend Angela in the band. She was like, I'm going to be a mother. It's what I'm made for. I will, whether I'm married or not, I'm having a baby. I will experience this. That was never my experience. My experience was I accepted the fact that maybe there's more than one right way to go through this life. Just because we can have children doesn't mean that we have to have children. And I loved my life. I was pretty happy in the distillery in Toronto, and I was, on my 36th floor with my little tiny Yorkie dog, and I was kind of loving my life. But then love came around, and the man who I was in love with 38 years ago came back into my life in a romantic capacity, and we got married after all those years, and it was like, for the first time, I was really feeling this feels like the most amazing natural step. He really wanted to have a family. And I, through becoming back involved with him, was just like, yes, I didn't think it was possible anymore for me. So I kind of accepted, allowed, and moved on. But understanding that, hey, there are ways scientifically and with the right medical care and direction that I could actually carry this baby. So then it was game on.
Were there any medical professionals who were like, no, it's just not going to happen for you? And how did you overcome that, I guess, hump it would have been if you had lots of people in your life telling you you couldn't do it?
Yes, there were medical professionals who said, this is not a good idea. It's a dangerous thing to do at your age. There are many things that could happen. It was interesting how so many people came to us and shared their stories of disaster. I don't know if you've ever found out, like when you're really excited about something, it's like, oh yeah, I knew someone who did that and they
Oh,
died.
isn't
I mean,
that
it's just like,
it's
oh my
like
gosh. And the one, like we were sitting at our, in this office, and the woman was saying, and I know they mean well, but she's just like, yeah, my friends, they've been married for 20 years, and they decided to go down this route, and they refinanced, remortgaged their house. They ended up losing the house, and they said, but they had their baby, right? No, they never actually did have the baby, and they got divorced through the process. And
Oh
we looked at each other
gosh.
like, why are people telling us this? The doctor that we found in New York, in Manhattan, he specialized in egg donation, which was what we were interested in. And he literally said, look, I'm just going to tell you, you got about a 5% chance of this happening for you. We left the office and Chris said, yay, it's not zero.
Oh, I love that. That's such a what a positive way to think, right?
But it was like, it was tentative, but it was like, yeah, but, and also, Chris and I both are very type A. So it was like, we are going to go in there. We're going to pay our money. I'm going to take my shots. We're going to have our baby. It never occurred to us that Avalon, our baby girl, who is now turning 7 at the end of this month, would be transfer number 6.
Oh, wow,
So
transfer
we had
six.
7 embryos, and we had miscarriages, and we had failed transfers, and we had failed transfers, and we had failed transfers. The beauty of all of that was learning that building your village of woo-woo, of Western medicine, of Eastern medicine, of spiritual healers. I mean, my friend Danielle Amos, who introduced me to the work of mindset, got me started at this point in really defining A, what my why did I want to do this? And then when I knew that and I developed a passion around that, deciding what it looked like and what it felt like to be a mother, and then writing all the affirmations. I had a chuckle at your podcast where you're talking about, okay, everyone, I know with the affirmations.
Like, stop rolling your eyes at me. Yeah.
Well, for me.
I think people who haven't experienced the other side of affirmations yet, where like it actually comes to fruition for you. I do it because I remember saying manifestations for years and nothing ever happening, probably because it was coming from the wrong place. I remember thinking like, what the heck is this all about? People talk about it, but it doesn't freaking work. So why am I wasting my time doing it? When you really surrender to the idea that that is what you can control, the controlling is in the positive thinking, in the affirmations, in the manifestation of it. That's the thing that you can control. When you surrender to that, that's when, I mean, clearly for you, that's when everything starts to happen too. It's very interesting that you said, you know, you were writing your affirmations about what it felt like to be a mother. So my question for you now is, once your daughter did arrive, so once Avalon now was earthside and with you and in your arms after that long fertility journey, how did the experience of being a parent differ from what you originally had in your head? And how did, I guess, that bring you to where you are now as a parenting coach, as the mostly peaceful parent coach?
When Avalon arrived here, I had a very specific idea in my head of what motherhood, parenthood, marriage with a baby, what all of that looked like. And this is one of the things I believe that we didn't get pregnant right away because I needed to learn, as my husband would say, how to release the grip. So I had a very firm grip on how things were going to happen, when they were going to happen, how they were going to roll out, how it was going to, you know, I mean, it's imperative to have a very detailed idea as a goal in mind, but also to be able to pivot. So those years of the failed transfers, and those years, I believe they set me up to be a more open parent and be ready for that baby when she got here. When she first got here, we were just in that fog of having that baby, and she was so tiny and so beautiful. And I have to say, I really loved the infant stages. And maybe I just don't remember because you do go into a fog when the baby's first.
I was going to say I remember that, but I really don't. I don't remember much of it.
maybe I'm romanticizing it because I just don't remember. When I really started to feel like this is not what I expected, this is not what I signed up for, I just thought she was just going to adore me at all times and whatever. I thought, oh, I had visions of me homeschooling her, and we would sit down at the table and she would learn from me. And you know, I reference this thought in my mind because it comes to me often, where Julie Andrews in The Sound of Music is playing the guitar and all the kids are around her feet in their little frocks and they're singing. And, you know, it's just like, where was that experience for me? And when Avalon started to get to the point where she was talking and thinking and feeling and expressing, I had no idea what to do with these huge feelings of hers. Matter of fact, I didn't even know that that's what they were. I thought, oh my gosh, she's bad. She's not listening. She's disrespectful. She had all these labels I had for this tiny little human. And I realized that 51 or not, I didn't know what I was doing.
Well, none of us do we? Doesn't matter our age.
Exactly. So I went to my best friend, Google. When we were going through our fertility process, my husband forbid me. He's like, what are you doing? Where are you going? Get away from the computer. So I started researching and I stumbled upon the Jai Institute for Parenting. And my interest initially was simply for my own survival.
To learn.
There's got to be a different way, what I was noticing about myself. An adult with no children, I didn't really notice that I was, you know, I would get upset or whatever. But with her, I felt like I was flying off the handle. Okay. I felt like I was doing all the things that I would give the side eye to other parents for doing. And this is like a moment for me to give a universal, I am so sorry for every time on a plane when I turned around and wondered, can you not stop your child from kicking the back of my seat? The answer sometimes is no, I can't. Or I've already done that 10 times and you just didn't notice.
Right, right.
Right. So all of the things, yelling and begging, coercing, if you do this and I'll do this and, you know, I'll give you this if you, you know, and all of that kind of bargaining and stuff like that, that we do when we're just feeling helpless. Like, I just need results. That kind of a mindset. I believed in my heart that this child did not come to me for this to be my experience. So I decided to take the course to become a better parent, to learn and accept the fact that at any age, whether you are a 20-year-old first-time mother or a 51-year-old first-time mother, you need the same help. This is a first-time experience and you're raising a human, a life. I experienced a great deal of guilt. I would yell and then I would feel horrible. This little face was so sad. How can I create the kind of experience that I want? And this is a science-based, beautiful practice of parenting that has just changed my entire life. And after I took the course as a parent, I was just like, oh man, I got to tell other people about
this. Yeah, I got to share it. Yeah, yeah. Well,
I went through the certification to become certified to teach the program. And and out of it, I've developed my own programs as well.
It's so interesting because I think parents feel almost ashamed when they think that they might need some support in a certain area, or they might need some tools in their tool belt or their toolkit that they don't have, or they feel like they have no idea what they're doing. We all just weirdly think that we're supposed to know exactly what it is we're supposed to do without having any training. Like, it's so funny. We go to school, and in high school, we take years and years of like calculus. And we never, I mean, there's going to be a calculus teacher that listens to this and tells me we do use it every day. But like, in my personal experience, I have not used those skills. But I do think it's interesting that there's relatively not a lot out there to help support you becoming a parent. Also, the shame that comes along with thinking that you do need help, which is so crazy because we take courses and we learn about everything else that we do in our careers and driving and, you know, all those things, but there's no manual. But there is. You're saying there is a manual.
There is. And I think largely our society lives from the outside in rather than the inside out. So there is a lot of value and weight put on what others are thinking. What,
yes,
you know, like I need to have a child who behaves like this or like that. I think to say I need coaching on this is an admittance of some kind of failure on your own behalf as a person, as a human. I love the opportunity to tell parents, this is the water. This is the relief. You don't have to figure this out on your own. I can't imagine that any parent in the world would not benefit greatly from understanding how the brain of their child works.
Yes,
you know,
For sure.
And so that you can find that empathy in those moments of like, this is just normal.
You call yourself the mostly peaceful parent. And I love that because, and that's not Jai Institute, right? Like, that's Jake Leisky. Okay. I love that you call yourself that because I think it's an admittance to parents that you're working with too, that you don't have solutions for everything, that you in fact F up yourself from time to time. And that even though you have great tools in your toolkit, it doesn't mean you're not human and that you're not going to make mistakes and that you're not going to need to repair those mistakes with your children and all of that. Can you explain to us a little bit about the difference between peaceful parenting versus what I think people could mistake it for, which is permissive parenting?
The main difference between permissive and peaceful parenting is that permissive, you just kind of sit back and let the child do their thing. I would have to say that the main difference is consequences, and boundaries. So peaceful parenting relies greatly on consequences, natural consequences. If you are getting ready for school and you're taking your time, and I'm encouraging you that we have a time schedule, but because of your choices, we get there and you're late. The natural consequence is that A, we're late, B, you've missed something, and they experience what it feels like. Oh man, I don't like this. It's a consequence and it's a boundary. Boundaries in peaceful parenting are all created. And this was just a bomber for me. I love this part because how do you get kids to do what you want them to do? That's the question that parents ask. How do we get them to, you know, I'm air quoting, behave? when you design your family life around core values, yes, then all of a sudden kids are learning how to do things that are meaningful to them without knowing that another parent would have possibly punished their child to get them to do that thing. For example, one of our core values is health, staying healthy. And eating chocolate before breakfast is not something that really enforces our Team Willis healthy core value.
I love that. Yeah.
When little Susie is going, and I'm freaking out and I want that chocolate. And I was like, whoa, hold up. We agree. This is part of our family's core values. I heard Avalon say the other day to one of her little friends, well, you know, kindness is a really big with our family's core values. And I'm like, okay, so she's getting it. So yeah, you can start it even really young.
Yeah.
You know, as soon as they start to understand anything, it's like, what's important to you? What's important to our family? We're a team. This is
and
Team Willis.
I really love that verbiage of core value versus family rule or household expectation. We talk a lot here about feeling good, and the verbiage that you use often allows you to either feel icky or feel good. And a core value, that vernacular, is so much warmer, both for parent and for child, and then also easier to incorporate. Like, there are so many things that are encompassed by maybe four core values of your family, right?
Yeah, and you can add to them. And also, it's a really easy, when you get a list of core values and you let your children help you choose, like, what's important to you as a child? And they will find different ones, you know, feeling safe, all kinds of different ones. And you'll be shocked at which ones they pick. Trust that and go with it so that when those things come up again, they're choosing to go a certain direction based on something that is a positive thing rather than, if I do this, I'm going to get a spanking. Or if I do this, I'm going to be sent to my room alone to be isolated, trying to figure out what's happening.
I think this is for our listenership out there. This is why I was so excited to have Jake on today, because the way that she speaks about her peaceful parenting being parent-centric, I think is the key for us here at the Joyful Flamingo, because we're all about tuning into our own well-being as women, not just as mothers, not just having only that label, but knowing what feels good for us outside of that too. So if you're really focused on parenting in a parent-centric way, it forces you to do the inner work to understand what's going on inside of you, so that therefore all of your actions are coming from that place versus the place of what the kid is doing, which makes so much sense. Because why are we relying on a 4-year-old or a 5-year-old who just doesn't have that brain development yet to lead us?
Also, when was the last time that you or myself or anyone ever tried to control the actions of another human being and it turned out well? We cannot. What we can do is control and understand ourselves, and then how we respond to our children is going to result in one of two things, connection or disconnection. I mean, if I was to put this in a nutshell, I would say learning how to understand myself, how I attached, how my nervous system, I know we're going to talk about that, but this could be my life's work right there. Understanding and regulating your nervous system. I never learned how to do that. I learned how to shove things down inside, bottle it up, and then at some point, some inappropriate explosion would happen and I would feel horrible. But now as a mother, my triggers, I'm still a human. I still have little Jake inside me. So I am triggered every 5 minutes by some behavior of my child or my husband. So I'm also saying that in all of this, I love your incorporating this big umbrella over how has this made me a better woman, a better person, a better mother, a better wife, a better friend, a better daughter. When you understand what triggers you and you understand physical scientific tools to bring yourself down to a place of calm and peace, then you are able to help your child do the same thing or your partner and find that empathy and understanding. And the moment you have empathy and understanding, you have peace. That's what I was searching for.
Yeah. And joy, which is what we're all about here too.
My word is poise. It's peace and joy mixed.
Oh, I love it. Oh my gosh. We should be the Poiful Flamingo. I love that. I don't know if you have a word yet for 2024. My word obviously this year is joyful, but I don't know. Poiful is a close second to me. I like that. Do you maybe have an example that you can give us of how, after having learned these techniques and these tools, it changed not only your relationship with yourself and your daughter, but your husband too? Because I do think that that's an important piece for people to know too. Not everybody is parenting alongside somebody else, and everybody has different right. circumstances. Sometimes people are parenting alongside someone else and they're not living with each other. Sometimes people are parenting on their own. They're solo parents. And there are others who are parenting alongside their spouse in the home. If you are parenting with somebody else, how do you think what you've learned has allowed you to have a better relationship with that person, even outside of parenthood?
Part of this is learning how to listen. As a human being, the moment we are able to stand back, watch, observe, get curious — there's a saying, get curious, not furious — what is going on? I know there's a reason why my child is screaming bloody murder at me in my face right now. There is a reason. Huh? I wonder, making it a game for myself, taking that violent, stop it right now, you know, that kind of thing, taking going, huh, this is really interesting. Wonder what is underneath this. Every relationship, this matters. Digging down and saying, what is underneath that is creating this reaction? That has enriched my relationships across the board. When you start dealing with brain science, when you start dealing with empathy, true empathy, when you start dealing with the ability to regulate your own nervous system and co-regulate with your child or your husband, whoever it is, or your mother or your friend or whoever you're living with, that's when all of your relationships deepen.
I saw this meme the other day, and it was something like, we ask kids to hurry up and do something all the time, right? Whether that's getting their boots on or going to the bathroom or finishing their dinner or whatever it is. And oftentimes when we're in the middle of something and they interrupt us, we're like, give me a minute. But then when our kids ask for a minute, we're like, nope, we're on a schedule. And that really hit home for me because I get overwhelmed when people are rushing me. So of course, people who are five and haven't yet even known the idea of self-regulation yet, of course that's stressful to them too.
And you know, the thing is, often in parenting, it comes from a good place.
Yeah.
Like at one time, my daughter literally, and she hadn't had a whole lot of tantrums. And so when she had this one, we were a little scared, to be honest with you. She was screaming. She laid down on the ground. She got kind of stiff and then she stood back up. And my initial response, I just wanted to dive in and fix it. I wanted to say, you know, hey, listen, if you just do this and take a deep breath and walk this way and do this and do that, and this is what's happening, and the lecturing and the explaining and the try this. Instead, this was my first real victory with the Jai method. Is I got really low and slow. I got down on the ground. I looked at her in her face and I said, I'm here. I'm here. I know you're scared, but I'm here. May I put my arms around you? Because in that state, they're feeling out of control.
Yeah.
If they can say yes to something and allow it or not allow it, that gives them some control. Put my arms around her, held her, and just kept saying, I'm here. I'm here. Her breathing slowed down. She stopped crying. And I said, whenever you feel like you want to tell me what's going on, I'd love to hear it. We left things alone for a while. And when it was time for a shower, all of a sudden she's like, Mommy, at school today, one of my teachers, and it all came tumbling out. So the art of listening. I have to read you this one quote. I hope I can find it.
While you're looking, low and slow is just such another great tool to have in your back pocket, especially when you're dealing with young kids at home, which I think many of our listeners are. And also, knowing that in the moment, trying to teach a skill or a behavior in the middle of a tantrum is probably not the best option. You probably want to wait for that kind of thing to be done after they've really figured out for themselves what it is they're truly feeling anyway, right? Because that tantrum is often probably just masked by a different emotion, a different feeling. So getting low and slow, I love that. I'm going to put that on a sticky note.
Low and slow. We talk fast and talk high when we're excited. And the moment we start doing that, it doesn't matter if you're in a Target or a grocery store or, you know, anything like that. It's a really important tool. I have to read this to you because it's so pertinent. Empathy, on the other hand, requires us to focus full attention on the other person's message. Whether they're a child or not, we give to others the time and space they need to express themselves fully and to feel understood. There's a Buddhist saying that aptly describes this ability. Don't just do something. Stand there.
Yeah.
As a parent, there are few tools that are more vitally important than don't just do something, stand there, listen, engage, let them know you're there, but really look for their message because that curiosity will take you far.
Yeah, I love that.
This doesn't mean just stand there and let them do whatever they want. This means in the realm of listening.
And I think, especially when a tantrum like that happens in a public space or a public forum, really the reason we feel like we need to do something is because we feel like we're being judged by other people as the parent. But who is the more important person? Obviously, 1,010%, it's my child. So why am I giving up what my child needs in order to please that random human over there that's looking in on my experience?
I always say they're not paying my bills. My job on this planet is to be the advocate for my child.
Yes.
We are the first advocates that this child will ever have. I will stand up for her. I will look at her in the face and say, it's okay. You are allowed to have these feelings right now, and we're going to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You're allowed.
And when more of us start doing that for our children, then that is raising a next generation of people who have more ideas of how to self-regulate, of how to understand their own feelings. And then it's passing that torch, which is another thing that we talk about here at the Joyful Flamingo. When you are the best version of yourself, the other people around you have the ability to do the same thing.
I did not understand, first of all, that the prefrontal cortex of the brain does not develop until between 25 and 28 years old. So appropriateness of what it is that we're asking of our children is laughable sometimes. And again, how are we supposed to know this? I did not know this at 50 right. years old. I mean, it may have been taught in a class somewhere way back when, but I don't remember anyone saying your ability to rationalize, your ability to make decisions. That's all what that prefrontal cortex does. So when we're saying to a five-year-old, how many times have I told you to do this? I just told you yesterday. You can't remember from yesterday to today, or, you know, go in your room and don't come out until you've figured out a better way that you could have done this. This child doesn't have the machinery. This child doesn't have the part of the brain that can actually do that thing that we're asking. You know,
and imagine what they're feeling when they're then going up to their room and they're like, what am I supposed to be doing up here? I'm not sure.
And isolation and aloneness. So lack of what, you know, goes back to, have we created connection or disconnection? And what happens when there's enough disconnection? What then does that child start doing as, and you brought up a beautiful point. One of the reasons, yes, to understand the way you're parenting is to create peace in your home now. It's the remedy now. It's the water now. But there's a lot of long game stuff involved in this as well. Mm-hmm. The well-being of my child. I want her to, I mean, I love the fact that she understands her own nervous system. We have a thermometer. And actually, if you're on my Instagram, you can click the link in my bio and go to socials. And there is a free download that I have that actually has the thermometers on it. It's a physical thing. You can download it as a free gift from me. And it tells you, it gives you an example thermometer, goes from green to white, and green starting out chill. And then you can understand as you go up the thermometer, there are different feelings mm-hmm. in the body. So what happens to me when I get into the higher up, my hands get sweaty. I notice that I get hotter. I want to take my sweater off. So there is a thermometer for parent to fill out. There's a thermometer for child to fill out. And with Avalon, she knows Mommy, I'm feeling like I'm getting closer to orange. I feel that tingly feeling in my stomach. I feel tingly in my hand. You know, she has different feelings that she identifies with the different levels of frustration and anger and up to, you know, I want to punch my fist through a wall.
Right.
The beauty of this chart is that when you go through and identify one for yourself and one for your child, then you can start saying, ah, what can I do when I start feeling just the murmurings of this thermometer going up? For my girl, ice. For her, putting a piece of ice in her mouth connects directly to her vagus nerve, and she immediately calms down. It's crazy. That's what I'm saying. Like, a lot of these strategies and hacks are science-based. How do we connect with that vagus nerve so that we don't have to get to the crazy, so that we don't have to feel the guilt and the shame? And listen, 40% implementation success, bravo. That's why I call myself the mostly peaceful parent. Is because I know this stuff. And there are moments where it's like, shit, I can't believe I did that again. But now I know how to create a meaningful repair after the rupture. And that's life. Rupture, repair.
Explain to us this idea of repair and how important it is, because I do feel like it's such a really strong thing for people to be able to grasp when they have felt like they've flown off the handle or they've gotten themselves out of control. And instead of just sheepishly melting into themselves and just never wanting to talk about that moment ever again, how do we repair with our children when we do lose our shit or when we not parent the way that we know we are capable of and our own nervous system got the better of us?
Yeah, we were human for a minute. This is such a vital thing. And I think in our culture, a lot of us were raised in a power parenting over situation. And that often looks like you're the child. You don't have a lot of power in our house. You do as I say, not as I do. This is my house, you know, until you're paying rent, but all those things. When we fly off the handle, I think a lot of parents view it as weakness to come back and say, I'm sorry, I screwed up. Because then there's this fear that our children aren't going to listen to us and they're not going to grow up to be respectful human beings. If we say we're sorry, we're showing weakness. It is the exact opposite. I come to my daughter on a semi-regular basis and say, hey, I'm really sorry that I blew my stack like that. That was completely uncool. I could have done a better job. I saw that it really scared you. I could see on your face
that
it really scared you when
I
did that. And that's the last thing I want to do. Here's what I'm going to do so that in the future, I'm going to get up a little earlier so that I am not rushing, so that I don't get frustrated, so that this doesn't happen so often. That's my commitment to you. And I'm really sorry. Do you accept my apology? That part gets a lot of parents. Do you accept my apology? Like, who is the child and who is the parent? No. You know what I've just done? I've modeled to her how to apologize. How the hell is she supposed to learn how to apologize if all I'm telling her is, don't do this, do this? She's watching me, right? So the value of that kind of a meaningful repair apology goes so far. And I've noticed her now starting to apologize in that way, not just the blanket, I'm sorry.
Right.
She's like, I'm sorry for blah, 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 because it made you feel this way. This is what I'm going to do in the future. Like, she's at seven. She's already starting to get this. So I love to call this a revolution, because the human beings that we're raising who A, understand their own emotions and can say, hey, you know what? How do I take care of myself in this moment of being triggered, so that I am not in a place of danger and not ruining my own relationships? Creating human beings who understand themselves, who are able to communicate in a nonviolent way, they are successful human beings. That across the board, their relationships, their work, how to take care of themselves, what you want for your child is happiness, security, to know when they're in a great relationship, to know what to expect, to know what to ask for, to not live in a poor relationship because they didn't learn to value themselves. This is not just so that little Bobby stops crying in the grocery store. This helps with that, but you're helping them to understand and love themselves. Launch that little creature into the world.
Oh, it ramps me right up. It makes me so excited. It really does, because I feel like anybody who listens to this episode is now going to have some tangible things that they can do to either get low and slow or repair if they forgot to get low and slow. Or, you know, there's just like so many little things. And I feel like we're going to have, I don't know, two or three other episodes to get into everything that we actually wanted to talk about.
And that's all a part of this 12-week course that I teach, is the whole segment on that, that is so many beautiful suggestions of things that work for all types and giving you the opportunity to give those a shot with your family. I didn't realize I was going to be doing so much work on me when I started this. And I'm not going to lie, this understanding that I have of myself, this ability to listen and my curiosity bringing love and empathy for other people, it's just across the board, it has been astounding. But the relationship that I am forging ahead with my daughter is, there are no words.
And you know what? That is like the perfect little ending to our glorious conversation. I really do feel like there are going to be so many people that message me and say, more Jake, more Jake.
Listen, you're talking about a subject that I could talk about with you as many times as you will have me back.
Well, and you know what we're going to do for everybody too, is check out the show notes, because it's going to give you a place to get more Jake for yourself. So you can find her. I'm sure we'll get her Instagram handle. We'll get her website. We're going to talk a little bit, I think, in the show notes about her courses that she offers and some upcoming things that she may be able to help you with. I just thank you truly from the bottom of my heart. I'm just so grateful you stepped into my life too. And you do just have this energy about you that is contagious. And I know that there's going to be so many people that are going to re-listen. That's the wonderful thing about a podcast too, is you get so many tiny little tidbits of things in, and then maybe you hear it a second time and you take something completely different than you did the first time. And that's why I love this form of creating content for people, because people can go back and re-listen over and over again until it becomes part of their daily rituals. So I really want to thank you for taking the time today to be with us. And I look forward to maybe more collaborations in the future.
Let's do it. Thank you so much for having me.
Oh, thank you. Whoa, whoa, what a fire episode today was. Oh, truly, our parenthood journeys is one of my favorite things to talk about, especially when it's focused around how to be a better parent. And I love that our conversation with Jake today really focused on healing ourselves first, so that we can best show up as the best parent that we know we are capable of being. I wrote down so many things from our conversation today, and I'm going to try implementing them today. And I want you to too. If you do implement something that you heard today on the pod and it goes spectacularly, will you share that with us? We would love to hear your experiences. Low and slow. That was one of my favorite tidbits from today, or reminding us to listen to our kids and what they're trying to tell us. And all of the different ways of regulating both our own nervous systems and those of our kids. I mean, the list goes on and on and on, and the value that I found today. And so I hope you found value too. And if you did, let us know, write us a message. Tell me what spoke to you from the episode today. What do you want more of? What sparked a flame within you? This is what it's all about. I'm so grateful for every single one of you Flockies out there. It's been such an incredible experience to share with you today again, and I am wishing you such a joyful day. Until next time. Just a reminder, Joyful Flamingo Flock, that I am not a medical or psychological professional. Each one of my episodes has been inspired by my own experience and journey through life, and is brought to you through my own opinions and lens. Any suggestions or advice offered here do not substitute proper conversations with your own healthcare professionals for either your physical or mental well-being.